The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts, ask a question about glaucoma, find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our phone number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today or maybe you're feeling a little bit shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com. You can also check us out online at www.hawaiianeye.com. Check out previous versions of the radio program and subscribe to a podcast of the radio show. You can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/Dr. Tortora. That's D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, no spaces. During the next hour, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ, and we'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. I'm an ophthalmologist, meaning, or also known as an IMD, which means I'm an eye specialist, a medical doctor who has specialized in the eyes. Now, we're going to try to be consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice, but remember, I can't see through the telephone, so I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. Hawaiian Eye Center does sponsor our program today as a public service, so sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Well, I usually like to start out the program talking about some of the things that have happened in the office over the past week. And one of the things that's come up is some issues about sudden vision loss. And this is when you wake up or suddenly notice that your vision in one or both eyes has suddenly declined or decreased. And there are only a relatively limited number of causes of sudden vision loss, but those causes are mostly quite serious and do require prompt evaluation. And so I thought I'd go through some of those causes and what, how they come up and what kinds of things can be done and should be done and how promptly they need to be treated. Okay, so sudden vision loss. Probably the most common thing we see in sudden vision loss is more common in people with diabetes. And it's usually occurs in one eye, not both eyes together, but just in one eye. And that is a hemorrhage or bleeding inside the eye. If there's bleeding inside the eye, there's usually one of several causes for the bleeding. It could be caused by abnormal blood vessels developing in the eye, which is common in diabetes. And so people with diabetes who develop advanced retinopathy, damage to the retina due to the diabetes, then bleeding in the eye is not uncommon. Hemorrhage, we call this vitreous hemorrhage because the blood or the bleeding in the eye goes into the vitreous gel, which is the clear gel that fills the inside of the eye. So this vitreous hemorrhage, the blood, it bleeds into the gel in the eye. It diffuses throughout the inside of the eye, and you can't see very much because the blood is blocking your vision. As a colleague of mine used to say, it's like looking through tomato soup. You can't see very much if you look through tomato soup. So there you go. If you have bleeding in the eye, you're not going to see much out of that eye. Generally, people who see bleeding in the eye, it usually starts with some spots in the vision, spots in the eye or the vision if it happens during the day. They'll notice spots first, and then the spots will become larger, and then they won't see anything out of that eye. And they come in quite frantic saying, you know, what's going on? Now, fortunately, hemorrhaging or bleeding inside the eye usually can result in a good outcome depending on what's causing the bleeding. And usually the treatment initially, if there's no tear or damage to the retina, which is causing the bleeding, which could be from an injury or could be from natural changes inside the eye. If the retina is normal, as far as we can tell, the treatment for bleeding is basically just to rest and keep your head elevated. That allows the blood to settle down. And two things happen. One is you see a little bit better when the blood settles down to the lower part of the eye. And the second is it allows us to visualize the back of the eye to make sure that there's not some other damage to the eye or that might cause damage to the vision over time. If there's a hemorrhage in the eye and you don't have diabetes, the most common cause of that is a tear or a break in the retina. And a retinal tear or a retinal break or a hole in the retina sometimes tears a blood vessel as well, and that blood gets into the eye and you end up with the same thing, the bleeding in the eye. But the question is, why did the retina tear, or what else is going on in addition? And so we have to look very carefully at the eye to find out if there is a tear or a break or a hole in the retina. And if there is, that needs to be treated. And if there is a tear in the retina, it's most commonly because of forces inside the eye related to aging often. You know, these things are quite common in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And they tend to occur because there are changes in that vitreous gel that we were mentioning before, the clear gel that fills the inside of the eye. The vitreous gel becomes soft and more liquid as we get older, and it pulls away from the back of the eye. As it does that, it can pull or create a little tear in the retina. And these tears, if they occur in the right place or in the place where there are blood vessels, can cause bleeding in the eye. So it's actually good if you have a retinal tear that causes bleeding, because it calls our attention to the fact that there is a tear in the retina and it can be treated. If a tear in the retina occurs and you don't see any symptoms, then it could go on to develop other problems without having symptoms in the early stages. So it's actually probably better if it causes bleeding in the eye. So bleeding in the eye, blood in the eye, is the probably most common cause of sudden vision loss that we see. And that will usually occur in just one eye, or one eye at a time. It could occur in one eye and then occur in the other eye sometime later, depending on what's going on inside the eyes. So what other causes of sudden vision loss? Ones that are more serious or more dangerous are various types of blood vessel blockages inside the eye. The retina, the seeing tissue in the eye, requires a good supply of blood, which supplies oxygen to the tissue, and our tissues need oxygen to function. And so the blood supply to the back of the eye can be compromised in different ways. There can be a blockage of the blood vessels, and if one of the arteries going into the eye is blocked, that results in a very quick, sudden loss of vision over a very short period of time. And this is one of the few very emergency-type problems in ophthalmology and eye care, because if one of these arteries is blocked and you catch it early in the process, sometimes you can reverse that process, that blockage. If that artery is blocked and it goes more than an hour or two after that blockage occurs, then there's not a whole lot that can be done to restore the vision again. So if there's an artery blocked, that's an urgent problem that can sometimes be treated and sometimes improves, but usually it results in permanently weakened or reduced vision. So other things that can happen is the vein inside the eye. One of the veins can get blocked. If a vein gets blocked inside the eye, it doesn't cause a sudden vision change necessarily, but it does cause a fairly quick vision change, loss of vision, because the blood flow out of the eye is now blocked or backed up. So very quickly what happens is that that blood that can't get out of the eye backs up inside the eye. It causes a swelling and protein. It causes blood and protein to come out of the blood vessels and into the tissue in the back of the eye, and it's not good for that retinal tissue in the back of the eye, and so you end up with a reduced function of the retina because of the blocked blood vessel, the blocked vein. And so when that happens, it can lead to a sudden vision loss again. And this, there's no immediate or quick treatment for the blocked vein inside the back of the eye. We call a retinal vein occlusion. And so basically the treatment for this is to observe and to hope it gets better on its own. And there are a few things we can do to try to reduce swelling in the eye, because swelling is often the reason that you lose vision related to this type of thing, because that swelling is fluid being deposited in the retina from the fact that the fluid cannot drain easily from the retina because of the blocked vein in the blood supply to the retina. So that's something that there's no acute treatment for, but something that needs to be monitored fairly closely over a period of time. When a vein in the eye is blocked, when you have a central or a peripheral or a branch vein occlusion in the back of the eye, that eye needs to be monitored closely for other types of changes that occur with these types of things. On to a couple of other causes of sudden loss of vision as soon as we get back from this short break.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Sharp and clear. Can you see me now? Hawaiian eyes.
And we're here on the Hawaiian Eye Show. We're talking about sudden loss of vision, things that can cause you to suddenly lose your vision and how urgent they are. We've talked about hemorrhage or bleeding inside the eye. We've talked about blocked blood vessels or vein or arterial occlusions in the back of the eye. The last major cause of sudden vision loss that I want to talk about this morning is retinal detachment. And retinal detachment is something that you hear about. You hear people talking about retinal detachment. But what is that? What is a retinal detachment? And how does it show itself? And why does it cause vision loss? Well, basically, the retina is the seeing tissue inside the eye. It's a very sensitive nerve tissue that allows light to be interpreted or to be turned from electrical impulses or, let's turn it the other way around. Light to be converted from light energy, light a light image, to electrical impulses, which can then be sent back to your brain and interpreted as vision. And so the retina is a tissue that's light sensitive. And so what happens is when light hits that retina, it is converted into electrical signals, and then they go through the nerve to the back of the eye. So problems can occur in anywhere along that process. It can that can lead to vision loss. They can occur in the retina itself, which would result in poor vision, or in the nerve pathways going back to the brain, or in the nerve pathways in the brain themselves that are going back to what we call the visual cortex, which is the part of the brain that interprets vision. It turns out the part of the brain that interprets vision is all the way in the back of your brain, on the occipital lobe, for anyone who knows where that is. And the reason that's interesting or important is because the path of the vision, visual pathways, have to run through the whole substance of the brain from the front, where the eyes are located, all the way to the back, where the vision is interpreted. And so there is a long pathway through the brain that the vision needs to travel in order to be seen and to work properly. So if there is anything wrong with the brain, like if you had a stroke or some other damage to the brain, that can affect the vision in certain ways as well. We'll get to that in a minute. What we're talking about now is problems with the retina, or that seeing tissue, that nerve tissue in the eye, and that sensitive nerve tissue, if it's very delicate, It also sits against an underlying layer, a pigmented layer, that supports it, that provides it with nutrients and energy through the circulation of blood and other nutrient-containing materials to the retina. And the retina is a very active tissue. It's metabolically active, meaning it's working hard because there's always light hitting it. It's converting that light into electrical impulses, which is what it does. And because it's working hard to do those things, it's using up energy. And so it needs to be constantly supplied with oxygen and other forms of energy. And so if that retina is separated from its support structures, which are underneath it, then it very quickly starts to fade and be, not only does it not work, but it starts to become damaged fairly quickly. And so if that retina separates or detaches from the underlying area, that's not a good thing for the retina or for your vision, obviously. So the retina is not tightly attached to that underlying area. And so if any fluid gets underneath the retina, it can cause a separation or a detachment of the retina. How does fluid get under the retina? Well, normally it can't, because the retina is an intact structure and there's fluid inside the eye and the gel that fills the inside of the eye, and there's fluid in other spaces, but not in the retinal or subretinal space. But if a hole or a tear were to develop in the retina, which we talked about initially with sudden bleeding in the eye could be from a hole or a tear in the retina, if a tear develops in the retina, that creates a passageway for fluid, theoretically, to go underneath the retina and cause a separation between the retina and the underlying layer. And this is called a retinal detachment. Okay, now, retinal detachment should not be confused with a vitreous detachment. A vitreous detachment is a very common thing, and it's what causes floaters for many people. A vitreous detachment is when the gel inside the eye pulls off the back of the eye, and as it does so, creates little dark areas which commonly show up as floaters. And so floaters are due to a vitreous detachment, but a retinal detachment is a much more serious problem. So the vitreous detachment is not dangerous by itself, but a retinal detachment is. And vitreous detachments in rare cases can develop into retinal detachments, but what we look for is a separation of the retina from the underlying area, or a hole or a tear in the retina, which is how that separation occurs. And if fluid gets under the retina and separates the retina from the underlying support structure tissue, then that's when you have a problem. So most retinal detachments start out to the side in the peripheral retina. They start out way out on the edge of their vision. So most people don't notice the changes from an early retinal detachment. But that retina, once it's separated, there's the potential for it to continue to separate further. And if it separates into the central part of the vision, and particularly the macula, then that means the likelihood of it recovering or improving is very small. So the goal of treatment for retinal detachment is to catch it early and treat it before it affects that central vision and before it becomes more difficult to treat or end up with a good result. And if we can treat a retinal detachment when it's very small, then it's very likely that it will that people's vision will return to normal without any real serious long-term consequences. If that retinal detachment goes unchecked and affects the central vision, the minute it starts to affect the central vision, the prognosis, the likelihood of improvement in vision over time becomes significantly less. And the longer that macula, that central part of the retina, has been separated, the less likely it is to get an improvement in vision. So the symptoms of retinal detachment can be sudden loss of vision, but that's usually when the central area is affected. And we're talking about sudden loss of vision this morning, things that cause sudden visual loss. So you don't want to catch a retinal detachment when it causes sudden visual loss, but if you do, then it needs to be treated very quickly in order to have any kind of a reasonable chance of an improvement in the vision over time. So if the retinal detachment is caught early, though, then it can be more effectively treated. And so what are the symptoms of retinal detachment? So if you have one, you know that you're having it or that you may be having it, and you get in to see your eye specialist right away. Well, first of all, let's talk about the risk factors. People who are at risk for retinal detachment are people who are very nearsighted. So if you wear thick glasses to see things in the distance, then that's a risk factor for retinal detachment. Now, some people say, okay, well, I was very nearsighted, but now I had LASIK, so now I don't have to worry about it anymore, right? And the answer is, well, you do still have to worry about it, because LASIK does not reduce your risk for retinal problems. It just compensates for the lack of focus of the eye or the nearsightedness, and it creates a better focus for you. So people who have had LASIK or other vision correction surgery who were nearsighted to start with are still at high risk for retinal detachments, and they need to be checked regularly for that every couple of years usually, unless there's even more risk factors like having had a hole or a tear in the retina in the past. So if retinal detachment occurs, commonly people will see symptoms like flashing lights in their vision. They'll see like little flashes that are not really there, particularly when it's dark out. They'll see these little flashes of light, kind of like what you see when you rub your eyes. They might see floating spots in their vision, or bunches of floating spots. That could be an early sign of a retinal detachment. So flashes plus floaters are something that need to be checked out very promptly. So if you notice new floating spots in your vision, you should get it checked out. But if you see floating spots associated with flashing lights in the peripheral vision, then that's something that ought to be checked out very promptly, same day if possible. So that's one of the things that's an urgent problem as well in eye care. Last thing, I said this was the last thing, but one more last thing that can cause sudden vision loss is strokes. We talked about the vision pathway, the fact that the nerves from the eye travel through the whole brain in order to get back to the area where they're interpreted, called the occipital cortex. And the occipital cortex is the part of the brain that interprets and gives us vision signals. And so since the vision signals from the eye have to go through the whole brain, any damage to the brain can cause a loss of part of the vision. And most commonly, vision loss from strokes occurs in the side or peripheral vision. People will lose the left side of their vision or the right side of their vision or a portion of the left or right side of their vision because of the way those pathways run through the brain to get to the occipital cortex, to where vision is interpreted. And so if part of the brain is damaged by a stroke, it can damage those vision pathways as well. But since they spread out through the brain, it usually only damages a portion of the vision, so part of the peripheral vision or the visual field. So if you suddenly have a stroke and other symptoms, it could also affect the vision as well. So that's a few causes of sudden visual loss. In most cases, it's important to get that checked out promptly. If you call the office and you call my office and you say, you know, I was fine until this morning and suddenly I looked around and I couldn't see anything out of one eye or both eyes or whatever, then my office staff is instructed to get you an appointment right away to come in to be seen, to be checked. And so if you, same thing, if you go by the emergency room because you've had a sudden visual loss, usually they'll want to contact the ophthalmologist on call to find out what is going on, or to have them evaluate your eyes to see if we can figure out what is going on to cause that sudden vision loss, because it generally is an urgent problem. So that's one of the things that you want to be aware of. Now, there are other things that cause sudden vision loss. And there are also things that are kind of, I guess we could classify as pseudo causes of sudden vision loss. So, for example, someone may have poor vision in one eye for a while. It's been gradually developing over time, and then suddenly cover their good eye and say, oh my gosh, I can't see anything out of this bad eye. And that just happened because I never was aware of it before. But we have seen many cases in which people have, let's say, a cataract, which is a slowly developing process that can cause significantly blurred or weakened vision. And so let's say someone develops a cataract in one eye, and then they end up with poor vision in one eye, but they are using the other eye, and the good eye is compensating. And then one day you go to scratch your forehead, and your hand blocks your good eye, and so you're only seeing through the poor eye, the eye that has the bad cataract, and all of a sudden you say, oh my gosh, I can't see anything. Even though it's been developing over the past 6 months, you only just noticed it today. And this is actually not uncommon. You'd think that you'd notice it if one eye started getting blurry or weak, and you know, many people do, but there is a subset of people that doesn't seem to notice, and it may have to do with how the eyes function together. Some people's eyes function together better than others. So you'd think you'd know when one eye is more blurred, but sometimes, you know, sometimes it doesn't work that way. So that's kind of an interesting cause of sudden vision loss. I'll put sudden in quotes, quote unquote, sudden vision loss, because it's not really sudden at all. It's just that you noticed it suddenly. Okay, well, I want to let you know that we do have open phone lines. We're going to take a short break for the news in a few seconds, and when we come back, it's going to be time to take your calls. So I'm going to give you the numbers now so you can start dialing and get on the line so that we can get to your calls right after the break. It's 521-8383 here on Oahu. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, it's 1-888-565-8383. And we'd love to hear about what you have a question about if you're listening to us live on a Saturday morning. And we'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio 830 KHVH.
It's 75 degrees, mostly cloudy in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton. Dennis, here's what's happening. The Syrian government is blaming a massacre in central Syria on armed terrorist groups, but activists say government shelling and thugs loyal to President Bashar Assad's regime are to blame. The activists say a string of villages northwest of Homs were attacked after Friday prayers, and more than 90 people have been killed. A cluster of thunderstorms is expected to become Tropical Storm Beryl. It could make for a sloppy Memorial Day in the southeast. Tropical storm warnings are in effect today from northern Florida to South Carolina, with forecasters saying people should watch out for coastal flooding and dangerous surf. The search continues for a suspect who shot a man and woman at 7:45 last night while they were making a deposit at the Bank of Hawaii Waipahu branch. The two were able to drive to a nearby restaurant and someone called 911. They are reportedly in critical condition. The suspect fled on foot. A former Damien Memorial School student filed suit yesterday alleging he was sexually assaulted nearly 30 years ago by a former Damien chaplain. The suit stems from a retreat Father Gerald Funtian took with three boys on the west side of Oahu. The plaintiff was 13 at the time. Honolulu Police Officer Mark Gines rescued a man at Ala Moana Beach yesterday. The officer was attending an underwater forensics investigation class when he and others noticed the man having trouble in the water. Gines swam over and helped the man to shore, then rejoined his class. Island weather, there is a high surf advisory for East Shores. Today it will be sunny and breezy with a high in the mid-80s. Tonight, mostly clear with a low near 71. And tomorrow, sunny skies. Currently in Honolulu, it is 75 degrees. I'm Julia Norton Dennis.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
A brown-eyed girl. Hey, you, my brown-eyed girl.
All right, welcome back, and you're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. And we're talking about eyes. That's what we do every Saturday morning, rebroadcast also on Saturday evenings. But we also are available online. And if you go to the website, www.hawaiianeye.com, and you click on the radio button there on the front page under the picture, the moving pictures, the radio button there. And if you go there, you'll find a whole archive of previous radio programs. And so you can go ahead and listen to any of our programs from the past several months You can subscribe to a podcast, so you can listen to our radio programs as they're updated, as the podcasts are updated. So these are all fun things that you can do in hearing more, if you want to hear more from the Hawaiian Eye Show. If you're interested in eyes, if we're talking about things that strike a chord with you, then check out our website, HawaiianEye.com. And also, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/HawaiianEyeCenter. And you can find out some of the activities that are going on at Hawaiian Eye Center and maybe even be eligible for some discounts and other things at our centers. So we've been we wanted to talk a little bit about the news that's been in the eye news, things that have been in the news over the past couple of weeks. I want to also invite you to give us a call. The second half of the program here is when we commonly start to take phone calls from listeners, so that if you do have a question for us, you can reach us at 521-8383. If you're calling for the Neighbor Islands, you can also reach us toll-free. It's 888-565-8383. Let's go to the news here. We have a story here that says the risk of eye infections doubles with the use of a common acne medication. It says millions of teenagers suffer from acne, and they deal with the embarrassing skin blemishes by taking popular prescription medications such as Accutane or Roaccutane. Now, however, research from Tel Aviv University shows that these pills can also cause eye infections such as conjunctivitis or styes, styes being a not really an infection, but a blocked gland in the eyelid. And a blocked gland leads to a red, swollen irritation. So it feels like or looks like an infection, but typically it's more an inflammatory process. And it says, according to Dr. Gabriel Chodick of TAU's School of Public Health at the Stacker Faculty of Medicine, clinicians have long theorized a connection between acne and eye infections, but there is little available statistical research on the subject. Acne itself can increase the risk of ocular diseases. He explains there's a greater tendency toward inflammation, and sometimes this leads to irritation. His research revealed that patients who took these oral medications doubled the risk of developing an eye infection compared to acne sufferers who did not. Published in the Archives of Dermatology, the work was done in collaboration with several doctors in Israel. It says researchers looked at records of almost 15,000 adolescents from Maccabi Health Services in one of Israel's, which is one of Israel's largest health funds. They were divided into three groups: those who were acne-free, those who had acne but did not take medication, and those who had acne and prescribed oral medications such as Accutane or Roaccutane. Of the 15,000 subjects, about 1,800 people developed inflammatory ocular diseases, including 900 in the medicated group, 450 in the acne group, and 350 in the acne-free group. The most common infection was conjunctivitis, commonly called pink eye. 4% of patients who were on acne medication contracted pink eye, compared with 2% for the normal population. So there was a significant increase in this. So a very common side effect of Accutane and Roaccutane is dryness of the skin and lips. It's only natural that these medications would also affect the lubrication of the eyes and the eyelids, specifically the oil glands along the rim of the eyelid. Tears are crucial because they lubricate the surface of the eye and they wash away debris, including bacteria and viruses that can lie on the eye or the eyelid. An infection of the gland itself can lead to styes, and more serious bacterial infections might lead to the swelling of the entire eyelid. So, that's acne medications increasing the risk of infections in the eye. It says, though not a serious medical condition, acne is still worth treating, according to Dr. Chodick, but dermatologists and patients should be aware of these side effects because there's the potential for long-term damage. According to some studies, including one published in Clinical and Experimental Optometry, irritation and eye rubbing can lead to structural eye problems such as keratoconus, and which is a degeneration of the cornea. So, way that you can minimize these effects if you are taking acne medications is you can treat any dryness of your eyes. So if you're having dry eyes, you can use artificial tear drops or eye drops to lubricate the eyes, and these are available over the counter without a prescription. So the question that I would have is the the eye infection rate, the increase in eye infection rate, due to the fact that you're taking the medications, or is it due to the underlying acne, or a combination of both? And based on the study that they did, where they basically broke people up into three groups, people who didn't have acne at all, obviously didn't take medications, people who had acne but didn't take medications, and people who had acne and took medications, they found that the last group, the ones with the medications, had the highest risk of these infections. So obviously medication plays a role, but I think they also found, although it wasn't clearly stated there, they also found that the ones that had acne had a little higher rate of eye infections than the people who didn't. And that certainly is not unexpected, because the acne itself affects the oil glands, and oil glands in the skin are get clogged, and that's what causes acne, and oil glands in the eyelids can get clogged, and that can cause styes or can increase the risk of other types of infections. So there you have it. If you're taking medication for acne, then be aware that it can slightly increase your risk for eye infections. Okay, we've got an article here about a new type of contact lens. Contact lenses, you know, one of the issues that we have with lenses is the longer you wear them, the more proteins deposit on the lens, and the more your eye sort of rejects the lens over time. And so typically most people wear contact lenses during the day, take them out when they sleep, and they throw them away. They call it a disposable lens, and they throw them away after about 2 weeks. So this is a new type of lens made from a different material, which is designed for a one-day disposal. There currently are one-day disposal lenses, but here's an article about one that's a little bit newer, different, made of a different material. It says, Bausch & Lomb announced the launch of BioTrue One Day, a premium daily disposable contact lens. The lens is made from hypergel, an innovative material that has the best features of conventional hydrogels and silicone hydrogels, and is the next generation of daily disposable material. The lens offers high water content, delivers more oxygen than a traditional hydrogel lens, all without the need for silicone, while remaining the maintaining the comfort of conventional hydrogels. BioTrue One Day contact lenses provide consistent, clear, comfortable vision through the day, as this innovative bio-inspired material helps them retain moisture and optical shape even after hours of wear, and allows oxygen to flow freely through the lens. It's a bio-inspired product, they say. These lenses can extend the BioTrue brand profile of Bausch & Lomb, which also includes a BioTrue multi-purpose solution. Okay, so basically, they say that these lenses contain more water. They're similar in composition to the cornea of the eye in terms of the amount of water that they contain, and they deliver a lot of oxygen to the surface of the eye, which should make them more comfortable and more healthy for the surface of the eye. So the contact lenses in common can help to can dry during the course of the day and cause blurring or dry eye symptoms, and these lenses are designed to maintain more moisture as the day goes on. So BioTrue one-day contact lenses sounds like something worth checking out if you're having problems with your contact lenses and you want to go to a daily disposable. They're probably a little bit more expensive. I don't know. I haven't seen them. We don't actually fit contact lenses in our office, but we do work with people who wear contact lenses all the time, and it'd be interesting to see if this gives any advantages. And here's another article about contact lenses, quite a few contact lens-related articles this past week. It says here, ultraviolet blocking contact lenses may have an effect on maintaining eyes' macular pigment density. It says that blocking the transmission of ultraviolet light through a contact lens may have an effect in maintaining the eye's macular pigment density, according to a new research presented at the 2012 British Contact Lens Association Clinical Conference. Existing research suggests that a higher level of macular pigment appears to have a protective effect against age-related macular degeneration, a major cause of severe vision loss for people over the age of 55. So basically what they did was they had people who were wearing contact lenses over a period of time, about 5 years, participating in a study where they examined the effects of wearing UV-blocking contact lenses on this macular pigment density measure, which they think is correlated with the progression or development of macular degeneration over time. And so they looked at this in people who wore ultraviolet blocking contact lenses and lenses that had very little ultraviolet blocking property to them. And they matched the patients for age, gender, race, body mass index, diet, lifestyle, ultraviolet light exposure, refractive error, and visual acuity. So they tried to make sure the populations were as similar as possible. And then they evaluated the ocular health and made sure that everything was okay there. And then they evaluated these contact lenses. It turned out that the people who wear the ultraviolet blocking contact lenses developed fewer changes in the macula over time. And so this suggests that the blocking the ultraviolet light getting into the eye is helpful in protecting the macula. And of course, we'd expect this because we know that there is macular degeneration is partially related to UV exposure over time. And as a result, if you can protect your eyes from the UV light, that's one of the best things you can do for the health of your eye, for the inside of the eye. Probably also helps with the progression of cataracts as well. You probably reduce the progression of cataracts by blocking the ultraviolet light. And typically we recommend people do this by wearing sunglasses. If you're wearing contact lenses, though, this does provide you with an opportunity to protect certain portions of the eye, the inner parts of the eye, the lens and the retina, to help reduce the rate of cataract and macular degeneration. But the UV-blocking contact lenses don't help you against ocular surface problems related to sunlight, like drying of the eye, pterygium, pinguiculum. So wearing sunglasses when you're outdoors, even if you have an ultraviolet-blocking contact lens, is probably a good idea. So it's good that those are now available. For a long time, contact lenses were just made in forms that did not particularly block the ultraviolet light. And so now that they're putting ultraviolet blockers in these contact lenses, I think that will help to protect people's eyes over time. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we get back, some more eye news. And of course, we'll have time to take your calls. So why don't you give us a call?
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
If you can, doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong, 'cause I'm fine.
All right, and we're talking about eyes. This is the Hawaiian Eye Show. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora, and just want to let you know where you can find us during the week. And we did talk about the website, hawaiianeye.com. Easy to find some information there and to listen to the radio program. For those people who need to be seen in person, we do have the offices here on Oahu where Dr. Rhee and I see patients. That's in Wahewa, in the central Oahu, and it's nice and convenient to anyone who lives on the west side of the island. All those, Honolulu was recently found to in a survey in a report to have the worst traffic congestion of any city in the U.S. And that's worse than L.A. That's worse than New York. So traffic congestion in this island is on Oahu anyway. is really a significant problem. And so one of the ways that we deal with that is that we provide an opportunity for people to come to our center if they live in the leeward side of the island for high quality, high tech treatment and opportunities for good quality care in a location that's not in the downtown area. You know, so even though some of the peripheral areas in Honolulu are expanding and growing a lot, there are a lot of things that really you can only get in Honolulu because of the population density, I guess, certain types of specialty stores, other things that they don't have out on the west side that they do have in Honolulu, that sometimes, you know, people still find themselves making trips into town to do certain types of things. Well, fortunately for your eye care, if you live on the west side, then we are much more convenient because being in central Oahu, in Wahiawa, it's kind of easy to get there, and it's a little bit less traffic congestion. Although everywhere on the island, I notice nowadays traffic seems to be a hassle, depending if you, when you hit traffic, depending on the timing. So coming from Honolulu to Wahiawa generally is pretty quick early in the morning and during the middle of the day. But if you wait until rush hour in the afternoon, then you can definitely run into delays. Let's go to some more eye news here. We have a story about eye specialists in Florida who say aging eyes may impact the body's internal clock. Well, there's an interesting idea. So several recent studies in ophthalmology and biological rhythms may have linked aging eyes with a number of health concerns ranging from memory loss, insomnia, and depression to high cholesterol, obesity, inactive lifestyle, and even heart disease. Fort Lauderdale eye surgeons Dr. Mark Bosom and Barry Kunkel at the Correct Vision Laser Institute say the gradual yellowing of the eye's lens and the narrowing of the pupil over time have been found to disturb circadian rhythms, which can ultimately lead to a range of medical complications due to its effect on the body's regulatory and hormonal function. At their Center for Eye Surgery in Florida, the two doctors say they've been recommending patients undergo eye exams if they experience certain symptoms, such as sleep loss, to detect the possibility of cataracts. And one of the doctors says the body's internal clock, helping it to start up in the morning and wind down at night, is regulated by blue light through photoreceptive cells that absorb sunlight and translate messages to a part of the brain that governs circadian rhythm and releases the hormones melatonin and cortisol for proper function. However, as eyes age, she says, their ability to receive blue light is diminished and the brain receives less of the messages it needs to control the internal clock. Dr. Bosom says cataract surgery often works to replace the natural lens in the eye so that the blue light reception is facilitated and can encourage the brain to react quicker and even improve overall mood. Thanks to a study published in the journal Biological Rhythms, researchers have found that exposure to blue light increases alertness and decreases sleepiness in young subjects, whereas the subjection to blue light had no effect on older subjects. So that's interesting. It suggests that as you get older, the effect of blue light is less. And so why is that? Well, the postulate of these doctors is that it's because light is being filtered out by the cataract, so you're not getting the blue light to the back of the eye the way you were when you were younger. And so this is affecting your daily circadian rhythm. Interesting. For a long time, Dr. Bosom says people have known that light levels can cause some depression in the winter, called seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, seasonal affective disorder, also known as SAD. Another similar study conducted in Sweden for the Archives of Gerontology and Geriatrics suggests that patients who underwent cataract surgery experienced reduced incidence of insomnia and daytime sleepiness, while a study from the Princess Alexandra Eye Pavilion in Edinburgh shows an improved reaction time of the brain following cataract surgery. So these results appear to be both encouraging and inspiring for eye surgeons, and they hope that they will improve patients with their vision, but also with their overall health. They say the future of cataract surgeries and studies like these conducted on blue light and circadian rhythm will hopefully reveal a connection between cataract procedures and higher levels of melatonin, which can eventually reduce the likelihood of health complications, perhaps such as cancer and heart disease. So the lens cataract removal, getting the lens replaced, removed and replaced with a clear lens in your eye, is perhaps going to have more effect on your health than just improving your vision. So that's an interesting concept. This whole idea of circadian rhythms, that we have a certain day and night rhythm that our bodies go through, is a kind of an interesting one, because if you take people away from the normal environment where they have day and night cues, you know, where there's sunlight and darkness outside, they actually, it turns out that our normal body's rhythm is not exactly 24 hours. It's actually something like 26 or 28 hours. And so what ends up happening if you just let people wake up when they wake up and go to sleep when they go to sleep is that they maintain essentially a new rhythm. They develop a new rhythm over time. And they start waking up a little bit later every day and going to bed a little bit later. And so their rhythm actually stops coinciding with the normal day and night cycles. So there's really some kind of external input that gives us, or that helps to create that cycle that gives us the normal day and night circadian rhythm. And so we think that that is partly related to sun, you know, and light on our skin perhaps, but mostly because the light sensitive tissue is our eye tissue. They think that tissues in the eyes through sort of alternate nerve pathways send signals back to the brain that give us information about day and night, about light and dark. And the postulate here with this most recent article is that if these cycles are limited because of lack of blue light transmission into the back of the eye, that that could throw off the daily rhythms and make it harder for people to maintain these sleep-wake cycles. And that can have an effect on other things as well. So the thing that, You know how when you travel across several time zones, you feel kind of out of sorts, and they call that jet lag? Well, jet lag is mostly about our bodies having to assume a new day and night rhythm. So suddenly, you know, if you were living in one place and you're getting up every morning at 7 o'clock and going to bed every night at 11 o'clock, then your body gets used to that rhythm. If suddenly you ask your body to get up at 3 in the morning and go to bed at 6 o'clock at night, then that's going to throw your body off, right? And that's exactly what you do when you travel to the East Coast, is you ask your body to readjust itself by 6 hours. And so that's a rather off-putting for your body, and you feel kind of out of sorts for a couple of days when you travel long distances. And this is why jet lag affects people so much. Plus, they tend to lose sleep during the travel time, and that doesn't help either. But once your rhythms, circadian rhythms, readapt or readjust, then you feel comfortable in the new environment as well. Well, we've been here for an hour now talking about eyes and eye care, and I've certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to thank our staff for helping out here in the control room. We've got MJ and Mike here today, and I'd like to say thanks to all you listeners for making this show work through your calls and through your email. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us. And if you learned something new, be sure to listen again next week. If you have a question, you can always email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can get to those questions during the program in coming weeks. Our email address, eyes again, is eyes@hawaiianeye.com. Don't forget to check out our website at www.hawaiianeye.com. You can hear radio shows there. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center, or follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. Thanks for listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Limbaugh, America's real anchorman, the truth detector to Dr. Democracy.
Every weekday morning at 10, KHBH Honolulu,
Hawaii's home for Fox News.